now this interview. But again, you got to go to blogtalkradio.com, One Dimitri Radio, because we will be ending the Facebook part of our simul stream. And again, if you want to know about Benghazi, the YouTube video that was all just a big lie, and you want to know what happened to all these people and who were just happened to be in Hillary's way, this guy will tell you. That's really just amazing, amazing stuff. And how she continues to get away with this is just beyond me. I mean, this is a monster. I mean, I absolutely believe she's a monster. Oh, well.
I confess that I barely got through high school. So whenever I watch important stuff on TV involving, you know, really important deep issues, I tend to get confused. Well, let me give you some examples. Like with some of these hearings you have in Congress, you got these Republicans who are holding hearings about really important things like the IRS targeting the Tea Party or the whole Benghazi thing where Hillary was saying, what difference at this point does it make? You know, 11 hours of that stuff, or the hearings with the Attorney General Loretta Lynch and then the head of the FBI. Lots and lots of hearings. And you got all these smart guys who are asking all these questions, and it seems like they're going somewhere and trying to accomplish something. But at the end of each hearing, I'm scratching my head going, well, what exactly was accomplished? And then after the hearing, I'm looking around thinking, all right, is someone going to be like arrested and, you know, charged with something or going to be thrown in prison? Is anything going to happen to anyone about anything that they have done or whatever? And of course, nothing ever does. And I thought, geez, Louise, I can't understand any of this stuff. One of the things that really is the most confusing is this whole thing in Benghazi. Sad story. You got four Americans who were killed there. They were then tortured. The pictures that I saw about poor Ambassador Chris Stevens, I mean, horrific, horrific stuff. And the whole thing was that they were blaming at first a YouTube video movie trailer thingy. And it was like, what the hell? And that was part of the discussion, part of the hearing with Hillary Clinton a while back. And, of course, nothing ever became of any of this. So I didn't think anything else of it. I'm going, well, it's typically Washington. Everybody screams and postures for TV. But then nothing ever happens because, well, just nothing ever happens, really. And then, okay, well, I deal with this big deal public relations firm. And they send me this this email about this book. This book, and it's called, let me get you the name of it. I got it here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Deception, the making of the YouTube video that Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi. And I perked up. I'm going, hey, that's one of the things that was confusing to me because I didn't understand any of this stuff. And then I started reading about this guy who wrote it. They have a bio. They're called bios. I think it's short for biography. Anyway, this guy's name is Ken Timmerman, and he's a nationally recognized investigative reporter and war correspondent, nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 2006, for heaven's sakes, New York Times bestseller list, lots of books, 10 books on national security and all this other stuff. And he's written for USA Today, Washington Times, Time, Newsweek, Wall Street Journal, you know, yada, 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 and on and on and on. And I thought, hey, maybe this guy could actually explain what the hell actually happened, because the media certainly hasn't done it. And quite frankly, the Republican-controlled Congress hasn't done any better. And so I reached out to his big deal PR firm and said, hey, is there any chance we could get this guy here for One Dimitri Radio? And they said, well, let's see what we can do. He's very popular. He's very busy. But we'll try to work out something. And lo and behold, they did. And so, Ken Timmerman, welcome to One Dimitri Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dimitri. Thanks for having me on.
So help me understand here first, why did you write this book?
I wrote the book because it was so unacceptable to hear Hillary Clinton continue to lie about this YouTube video when we knew that it had absolutely nothing to do with the attacks. We knew that relatively early on. We did not know the detail, of course, because she continued to lie about it. And even, you mentioned that congressional hearing, she continued to lie on it even then, almost 3 years after the attacks. But, you know, we learned that she told her daughter the night of the attacks, oh, no, it's Al-Qaeda that killed some of our guys in Benghazi. She told the Libyan president, oh, well, we know the YouTube video's got nothing to do with it.
I thought that was Egypt. Oh, that was Egypt, or
Egyptian prime minister and the Libyan president. So
okay.
She tells all these other people the truth, and yet she goes out and lies on American television, lies to the American public, and continues to lie up to this day. So I said, look, this is just too much. Let's take this whole thing apart, figure out what the story was really all about. And I went back and interviewed the people who made the movie. I interviewed the actress who's involved in this. She was suing Google to get them to take the movie down because she was being threatened. She was getting these guys calling her up in the middle of the night, threatening her in language I will not repeat on the radio, but it was not very polite. And so I got their stories, and that's the story I wanted to tell in Deception, exactly how the video was made, how it went viral, the fact that when the attacks took place in Benghazi, only 405 people had seen it, and not in Libya. So it was the U.S. government that actually helped this YouTube video go viral, so then they could blame it for the attacks.
All right, let's get started. Before the video, what actually happened?
In Benghazi, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. On the ground in Benghazi, you had a bunch of jihadi terrorist groups. One of them was being trained, equipped, and armed by the Iranians, the Revolutionary Guards. They had brought in a top general a couple of weeks beforehand, under cover of the Red Crescent Society. That's the Muslim equivalent of the Red Cross. So they're saying, oh, we got this nice humanitarian team of doctors we're going to bring in to help people. They weren't. They were terrorists. Okay? And so when Suzanne Rice then goes out later and says, it's the YouTube video on that very same segment on I think it was Face the Nation, it was the Libyan president, Magariaf. He said, no, we know it was foreign fighters who came into the country a few weeks ago. He was referring to the Iranians. So there were all these groups on the ground, terrorist groups on the ground. The U.S. knew it. The CIA guys at the annex knew it. They were tracking them. They were worried about it. Their job was to protect the CIA officers who were there so they wouldn't get banged, right? And you had scores of warnings from Chris Stevens, the ambassador in Tripoli, and from the people on the ground, the State Department security people on the ground in Benghazi, saying, this place is a hellhole. We could never hold out 20 minutes if we were attacked. We need more security. And back in Washington, they didn't pay attention. They completely ignored it. Hillary ordered Chris Stevens to go there because she wanted basically to come into Libya in October on a victory tour to show what a great success her policy had been.
Was that a cover for some sort of American arms running, gun running to one group or some other group of rebels or something or other? Was that like a covert operation that everybody in government knew about, Republicans and Democrats?
Well, I don't know if all everybody in government knew about it, but yes, there was a gun running operation. And yes, that's the main reason that they hit on this deception to blame the YouTube video. It was kind of like an old fashioned magic trick. You know, look at my right hand. Watch my right hand. Keep your eye on my right hand. OK, it's moving over here. It's very interesting. It's called a YouTube video. Don't even think about looking at my left hand because that's the gun running. So they kept us focused on the right hand so we wouldn't look at what the left hand was doing.
Do we know what the gun running was all about? Because I've read different things, and some stories are claiming that the Obama administration, with the approval of John Boehner and some of the high-ups in the Republican Party as well, kind of approved the running of guns to a terrorist organization or some rebel organization, maybe some people think turned out to be either ISIS or Al-Qaeda or something like that. Was that really what was going on?
Well, I can't tell you definitively, and I'll tell you why. What you're referring to is the Gang of Eight. These are the cardinals of intelligence in Congress. Boehner was one of them. He would get briefed on all these highly classified operations. What we don't know, we still don't know, is whether there was an intelligence finding. An intelligence finding, this is an official term, would have to be briefed to that Gang of Eight. It's quite possible, and I think this is probably what happened, that they did not use an intelligence finding for the gun running. They called it a liaison operation, which means it's a fancy term for meaning, hey, we're going to let the Brits do it, or the Turks do it, or one of our Gulf allies do it from Qatar. or some other country, and we're not going to really do it, so it's not a U.S. operation. And I think that's really how it went down. So in that case, the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress weren't aware of what was going on, which made it all the more important to have this deception operation to cover it up.
Okay, so there's this terrible gunfight in Benghazi. America does not send reinforcements. Let these poor people die, and Chris Stevens, what they did to him, Jesus, there's got to be a special place in hell for these jihadists. I mean, there's got to be a special place in hell for them, and also for Hillary Clinton for allowing this to happen. Did you get the sense in reading these emails from her and all that, that yes, she was just kind of very matter of fact about what happened and simply had no real interest in, didn't seem very passionate? I never got the sense that she actually cared deeply about what happened there, as if it touched her soul or anything like that.
I think you're right about that. What I found, on the contrary, and I write about this in the book, she was very passionate about American right-wing pastors like Terry Jones in Florida who are burning Korans. Oh, that really got her very, very upset. There were 37 emails about that going back and forth at different times. She was working with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, these 57 Muslim countries, right, to get a UN General Assembly resolution passed, which she succeeded in doing, that would ban hate speech against religions, or ban ban blasphemy, basically. It was Islamic Sharia blasphemy laws. Of course, the only religion that they cared about was Islam. They didn't care if people, you know, urinated on a picture of Jesus or said bad things about Yahweh or King David or Moses. They only cared about Islam. And in fact, the filmmaker of Innocence for Muslims becomes, in the United States, the first victim of those Islamic Sharia blasphemy laws, when in fact what he was doing was expressing his First Amendment rights. So somebody goes to jail for a year, right, expressing his First Amendment rights because he blasphemed, in quotes, Islam.
Okay, so who is this guy that made this Innocence of Muslims? I saw the movie trailer, and I must tell you, it looked horrible. It looked so amateurish. It was it was like almost like a Saturday Night Live skit. It was so bad. That kind of, I'm not kidding. It looked just awful beyond words.
Yeah, it was pathetic. Absolutely right. You're right about that. And it should have remained exactly where it had been when his son posted it to YouTube in July of 2012, and nobody watched it, because it had no particular, you know, literary or artistic value. It was not really worth watching. But it was made into something big to deceive the public and to cover up. So Nakula, the man who made the video, is a Coptic Christian. He's not an Israeli Jew. He did not have 100 Jewish donors, as the Associated Press put out erroneously, probably with the help of a leak from the White House. But he was a troubled guy. He had been a petty criminal, had served time for credit card fraud. And when he was in jail that previous time for 21 months, I guess it just kind of hit him. He started reading all these Islamic texts, and the Coptic community in Egypt had long been persecuted by Muslims. When they were attacked, the police would never help them out. And so it's really a big deal. Egyptian Christians have suffered for years from indifference from the authorities, and when the Muslim Brotherhood took over, thanks to Hillary and Obama in 2011, they suffered more directly. Churches were burned and everything else. So this guy says, okay, look, I'm going to make a movie and expose the ideology behind Islam. So he goes to all of their holy texts, all the authentic stories about Muhammad, and writes this screenplay, this script, that really, it's actually accurate. It accurately takes the life of Muhammad. It just turns it into derision. But all the events are real. The problem is, of course, he gets a porn director, a pornographic film director, to be his director.
Oh, no.
Because he can't afford anybody else. And so the porn director really kind of doubles down and makes it even more derisive and more ridiculous. There's a Moses scene in the trailer.
Go ahead. Tell the scene in the trailer. Go ahead.
There's a scene in the trailer where and it's a true scene where Muhammad and his wife Khadija, he goes to Khadija because he's seeing devils everywhere, and she and she says, well, you know, she takes off her veil and then hikes her skirts so he can have his head up her skirts. He says, do you see the devils now? And she says, no, I don't see them at all. Oh, she says, well, it's because I've taken my veil off and scared them away.
Nice. Did they, by any chance, have anyone coming over from the cable company to fix the cable TV or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. But it was really pretty funny in many ways. But you're right, an amateurish production never should have gotten anybody excited about anything until Hillary and Obama latched onto it. And I reveal in the book, one of the reasons they latched onto it was thanks to Sid Blumenthal.
Who is this guy, Sid Blumenthal? I keep hearing his name with the server scandal with Hillary Clinton, and apparently this guy is so slimy that even the Obama administration wanted nothing to do with him. Who is this Sidney Blumenthal guy?
Yeah, he was in the White House with Bill Clinton as an aide in the 1990s. He's the guy who invented the story about the vast right-wing conspiracy. He's a media guy, okay? He was their spinner-in-chief during the 1990s when the Clintons were in the White House at that point. Well, as you say, Obama thought he was so sleazy, he didn't want him back and forbade him from any official position of the State Department. So now you find out, once the emails started to come out, that he was emailing Hillary all the time and she was emailing him back and she was sending him, quote, intelligence briefs on Libya. I don't think the guy had ever set foot in Libya. He was using a known ex-CIA intelligence fabricator whose story I tell in Deception. It's really quite an amazing story. But he was using this guy as his source. And he was the one, Sid Blumenthal, who said when the attacks hit and he saw there was this initial interest in the video, he saw the traffic, he said, aha, that's the story. That's how we spin this. And there's a memo the night of the attacks where he kind of lays it all out to Hillary how to spin the attacks by blaming it on the video.
And so the attack happens in Benghazi. Our people are killed. We never send any backup. There's a lot of accusations going back and forth and back and forth, always with Hillary Clinton. I mean, just always there's this slime trail and you never know what the truth is, but you know you're being lied to. And then they send out Susan Rice. Why Susan Rice? Why was she sent out to all the Sunday morning news shows to blame this stupid-ass video?
I think probably because she was truly naive. She really was not in the know. She wasn't aware of what was going on, and they needed somebody who could believe the spin that they were giving her and then, you know, spew it out. Hillary declined. She was invited to go to those shows and she declined. And I think she declined precisely because she knew the truth and she was afraid that she would not lie successfully, where somebody who didn't know the truth or at least not know all the details would be able to lie more successfully.
Jeez Louise. So what happened then after Susan Rice says, okay, it's this YouTube movie trailer that caused all of this trouble? I seem to recall that the United States government ran a full-page ad in a Pakistani newspaper about it. Is that right?
Oh, yes, and not just one. They also took out $70,000 worth of advertising on TV channels. And that really helped to make the video go viral. Nobody was watching it in Pakistan until our government started to promote it.
And what were they saying in the ads and the TV spots?
They were saying the same thing Hillary said at the ramp ceremony when the caskets were brought back from Benghazi with the four people who died. She'd say, oh, it's an awful video. We had nothing to do with it. Well, in fact, they had everything to do with it.
So, God, this is just so – okay, after that, I read somewhere where this Coptic Christian guy who did the video was arrested and thrown in jail?
So after that, he's arrested and thrown in jail, and
but not for the movie though. There was something else.
Of course not for the movie. Dimitri, don't have evil thoughts in your mind. They wouldn't have even imagined putting him in jail for the movie. It was because of a parole violation, and they accused him of using a phony name. And he said, "What do you mean I'm using a phony name?" He says, "Yes, you're using this name, Mikula." He said, "But this is my birth name." "Yes, but you changed your name legally in 2002. He said, "Yes, I did. That's true. But then, so why did you use Mikula?" He said, "Because the feds, when they prosecuted me in 2007, I think it was, 2009, they used my birth name again, Mikula. So I figured I'd better use the name the feds used." That's why he was thrown in jail. Now, come on. That doesn't pass the smell test. And when you read the sentencing transcript, and I put this in the book, and you can see this on my website. I'm going to put it up there tonight. You read the sentencing transcript, and it was absolutely crystal clear that the U.S. federal prosecutor put him in jail because of the movie. You know, he says again and again and again, "This is not about the movie," and then he goes off and talks about the movie for 10 minutes.
Jesus.
So they put him in there because he was expressing his First Amendment rights. He is the first victim of Islamic Sharia blasphemy laws.
Unbelievable. So he's in jail. How long was this guy in jail?
It wasn't a day or two. It was a year. And in the meantime, before he was put in jail, he was in quote-unquote protective custody. Well, that was basically a house arrest. They were taking him from hotel to hotel. And get this, making him pay the hotel bills.
Jesus.
And then instead of releasing him, they bring him up in this hearing and, you know, throw him in jail for a year.
How did he ever get out?
Well, the year expired. I mean, he did his time. And then he was he's still under parole. I think he's got another year to go in his parole. And he is being put up by a very kind pastor in California, Pastor Wiley Drake, who runs a halfway house. Well, not a halfway house, but he helps homeless people. He has a homeless shelter and a Baptist church. And Nikula is there, you know, living free of charge. He does chores around the church to pay his keep. And Wiley Drake is there as his kind of supervisor, you know, making sure that he keeps to his parole.
Why didn't the ACLU or some other group like politically conservative lawyers or some other group come to this guy's defense?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I understand why the ACLU didn't. I mean, I don't, but I do. It's because they are a political organization and they basically will represent Black Lives Matter and left-wing groups, but not conservatives. But I'm less sure why there are Christian and conservative legal defense groups, and they never came to his aid. I'm not quite sure why that didn't happen.
Hmm. Did you ask any of them?
I didn't. And it actually, to tell you the truth, it didn't occur to me. He was so unpopular as a cause, and the movie was so unpopular as a cause that I was interested in getting his firsthand story and kind of learning firsthand about what he'd gone through and what the actress had gone through, more than the politics of it, if you wish.
All right. And the actress was this Cindy Garcia?
Right, right. And she, you know, her story is just awful, what happened to her. She had a small church that she had set up, worked very hard to build up a soup kitchen. She lost everything. She had to leave the church and lost her job, lost her house. And as I said, she was receiving death threats. So she spent, you know, 2.5 years suing Google. She got a lawyer who Chris Armenta, who gave her time for free. It's called pro bono. Sued Google just to get them to take down the video. And how absurd is this? They went into one courtroom in the Ninth Circuit. Alex Kaczynski, the judge, he's very famous. He's the judge of the quote Hollywood Circuit, right? They get all these Hollywood cases.
Right.
And the judge turns to the Google people and he says, you know, why couldn't you just do the moral thing, you know, the right thing, and just take down the civil thing, the humane thing, and just take down this video? And the Google lawyers with a straight face responded to him, "Well, Your Honor, you're just assuming that it would be the right thing to do."
Jesus. Did anyone involved in this horrendous thing, targeting these poor people, did anyone, whether, and certainly not Hillary Clinton or Sidney Blumenthal or Susan Rice, did anyone pay any price for what they did in using the government to destroy the lives of all these poor little people?
No, absolutely not. And so you had four victims in Benghazi. You had another 40 people killed in the post-Benghazi riots around the Middle East that were actually provoked by the video and the cynical use of it by the U.S. government. But never a single person in government paid any price for it, which is one of the reasons why I wrote this book. I think people need to understand just how cynical Hillary Clinton was during this whole episode.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I believe she is a soulless witch that is just she's just scary. It's so scary what kind of sociopath she is. It really is scary. So, Ken, talking, by the way, with Ken Timmerman, the author of Deception, the making of the YouTube video Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi. One of the most powerful aspects of this pathetic story is one of the moms who was there when the caskets came back with one of them was her son. And she was interviewed. I've seen her on the cable news channels, and she's just calling Hillary a liar. In fact, I think everyone there, all of the survivors, the parents of these four dead people, were calling Hillary a liar, saying that, you know, right there with the caskets when they came back, Hillary was saying that, yes, it was the YouTube video and all that. Was there anyone else there who could corroborate their stories?
Corroborate the stories of the parents?
Yes.
Well, they've said it repeatedly.
And, right. But was there like a third party, someone else who was, some Marine who was there holding a flag or doing whatever, who overheard that so he could say, yes, the parents are telling the truth, Hillary is lying?
Well, it's all of the parents. It's not just one parent. It's all of them. And she said different things to each one of them. To Pat Smith, she says, it was the YouTube video that was responsible. To Pat Smith, to Charles Woods, the father of Ty Woods, she said, we're going to get the person responsible for your son's death, the filmmaker, and we're going to put him in jail. I mean, they all told these stories, people don't lie like that. These are small people. These are ordinary Americans, people who don't have anything to do with government. They have no reason to lie. They don't go there hating Hillary Clinton. They go there wanting the truth. So I think they're very credible. And there's a very brief trailer with some of those quotes up on my website, kentimmerman.com.
It is just amazing. All right. Now, Ken, explain this to me, because you understand politics. You understand Washington. Hillary Clinton, okay, this hearing, Republican-controlled Congress, the committee, and you've got this hearing. I don't know if it was Daryl Issa was in charge of it or Kurt Trey Gowdy, the guy with the funny-shaped head and all that from South Carolina, very smart guy. He is conducting this hearing. He is a former prosecutor, a very, very sharp guy. They've got all this smoking gun evidence regarding Hillary Clinton. They're grilling her for 11 hours. The only thing I remember of this is Hillary saying, what difference at this point does it make? And then nothing happens. Why?
Well, that's why nothing happened. The most telling exchange, I think, in those 11 hours were between Representative Jim Jordan and Hillary Clinton. And he's the one who reminded her and obviously anybody who was watching that on the night of the attacks, she emailed her daughter. He shows the email on the screen. He reminded her that night he spoke to the Libyan president. He shows the transcript on the screen, told the Libyan president that we knew it was al-Qaeda that carried out the attacks. He was the one who told her, reminded her that the next day she called the prime minister of Egypt, put that transcript up. And to the prime minister of Egypt, she said, well, we know the video had absolutely nothing to do with the attacks. And then he reminds her, well, on the night of the attacks, your statement said it was because of, quote, inflammatory material on the internet. So he confronted her with her lies, and what'd she do? She just, same kind of thing, just kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, well, Congressman, you might want to think that, but there was the fog of war and we didn't really know. It was just nonsense. And she gets away with it.
But why was
she not going to get a
Slim, before we get to this next thing where she's not going to get away with it, 11 hours, you got all this material against her. Why is it that nothing ever happens there in Washington? It's like all of this stuff, whether it's the IRS Tea Party thing. Nothing ever happened to anyone there. Nothing ever happened to this whole Benghazi thing. Nothing ever happened with Loretta Lynch or with the FBI Comey regarding all the server stuff. Nothing ever happened. So why didn't anything ever happen after the Benghazi hearings when they had all this information?
Well, because ultimately Washington is about politics, and the only thing that can happen is political, which means that people vote for her or people don't vote for her. That's the ultimate. I think that's really the only place where there's going to be any accountability in the voting booth.
You know, when Donald Trump says the system is rigged, I mean, look, I can disagree with him on a lot of things, but this is, to me, is just another example of there are two sets of laws, one for the elites and one for everyone else, and the elites never, never pay any kind of a price. Meanwhile, they crap all over the little people, and it just keeps going on and on. Do you get the sense, Ken, after everything that you've learned from this in your years, that our republic, it really is corrupted beyond belief, and that it really is rigged?
I think, look, the Comey investigation, the FBI investigation, and his extraordinary disculpation of Hillary Clinton, exoneration of Hillary Clinton at the end of it, really showed we live in a banana republic. There are two sets of laws, just as you said. There's one for the rich and the famous, the politically connected, and there's the rest for us, the rest of us. There's another set for the rest of us poor schmucks.
It's just depressing beyond words. So where are we now? I'm talking, by the way, with Ken Timmerman. He's the author of the soon-to-be runaway bestseller, Deception, the Making of the YouTube Video, Hillary and Obama Blamed for Benghazi. So where do we go now? What happens now?
Well, now I would like Americans to read the book. I'd like them to learn this story about Hillary Clinton, her extraordinary cynicism, her willingness to use people for political ends, to destroy their lives for herself, just for herself, not even for any higher purpose. There was no U.S. government purpose. There was no national purpose that this deception served. It was just to help herself. So I'd like people to read that and to learn who this woman is before they go in the voting booth in November.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is there anything else I should have asked you? Have we covered the key points of this story, or did I miss something?
We've covered some of the points of this story. There's, it's just a heck of a good read. I wrote the book. There's a lot of investigative reporting in it, but there's also just the stories of these people. So I wanted it to be a quick read, an easy read, and something that'd be fun to read.
Okay. All right. Well, by the way, I couldn't help but notice, quote, famed Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal. He just passed away, right?
A number of years ago, yes.
Okay. I was thinking of someone.
You're thinking of Elie Wiesel.
That's it. Yeah, but this guy says, I have spent my life tracking the murderers of yesterday. Mr. Timmerman is tracking the murderers of tomorrow. That's pretty strong stuff there, sir. It really is. So, Ken Timmerman, I always give my guest the last word here at One Dimitri Radio. This is your opportunity to speak directly to my listeners and to say whatever you want. Great opportunity to repeat key points. Bring up new points, stuff that maybe we've missed. Also, to shamelessly promote your books and speaking engagements and websites and social media and anything else that you want. So, Ken Timmerman, my microphone is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Dimitri. Look, my website is kentimmerman.com. You'll find information about all of my books. As I say, there's a 50-second trailer, very short, about Deception, the newest book about Benghazi. I really encourage you to have a look at that. I've been working on these issues for many, many years, the past 35 years on the Middle East and reporting from the Middle East and about the Middle East, something I care deeply about. just as I care about the persecution of Christians. You'll see there's information on my website about that as well. But please have a look. You can find me on Facebook as well and Twitter at Ken Timmerman. The book is Benghazi Deception with the hashtag Benghazi Deception. Look forward to meeting up with all of you on social media.
Ken Timmerman, thank you so much for joining us here at One Dimitri Radio.
Thank you, Dimitri. It's been a real treat. Thanks.